Good morning. Many years ago, a Lutheran pastor arrived at a new parish assignment in the Austin neighborhood on Chicago's west side. After several months observing the overwhelming needs, he called his sister on the East Coast. "Mary, can you come and help?" In a few years, Mary Nelson was creating affordable housing on such a massive scale through a ministry called Bethel Housing that housing and urban development officials from Washington came to learn how she was doing it. By the mid-80s, this parish had effective ministries in addition to housing in healthcare, education, employment, and legal aid. The poor were receiving good news. Bethel Lutheran Church was inspired by Isaiah 65, the text that Rita just read for us. This prophetic poetry begins to bring closure to the lengthy book of Isaiah. After a whole book of many judgments followed by promises, the last two chapters, 65 and 66, focus on wonderful news for Israel. After all the national calamities and suffering they've been through and will be through going through, Israel is reminded of what the Lord is doing. Text begins, "For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress." Several quick observations in these first three verses. The verb tense for "I am about to create" implies a connectedness of past, present, and future. God is saying, "I created, I am now creating, and will continue to create." That concept is all wrapped up in the tense that is used. This is who God is, the creator. This is what God does. God is always creating. Secondly, there's only one thing for the hearer of this text to do, and that's in these first verses. And that is, "But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating." Everything else in this text is about what God is doing. But what the hearer is instructed to do, in light of all this that God is doing, is to be glad and rejoice forever in what God is creating. We'll come back to these observations later. The contemporary English version translates verse 18, "I am creating a Jerusalem full of happy people." So why are these people happy? Verse 20, "No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days." A city without infant mortality would be a happy city. Verse 23, "They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity." They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. Inner city folk understand both of these phrases. Back in the 1980s, insurance companies found a market in the inner city for burial insurance. Parents who could not afford any other insurance bought burial insurance for their children because of the perception that the odds were high that their children might be killed. Back then, one might hear an inner city youth talk about what they wanted to wear in their casket, in the same way suburban youth talked about what they wanted to wear to the prom. God's vision of a Jerusalem full of happy people, in that vision, there will be no one will labor in vain. No one will bear children for calamity. As that vision continues, the focus shifts from the beginning of life to the end of life. No more shall there be in it an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth. Where seniors' lives are not cut short by illness or tragedy or neglect would be a happy city. And then God's vision covers everyone else, working men and women. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall be the days of my people, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Jerusalem will be a happy city because everyone will have jobs and housing and food and even time for leisure. Then in the last two verses of the text, Isaiah shifts from these universal and timeless human realities to a metaphor from nature. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. In using that metaphor, God is simply making the point that in this happy city of Jerusalem, diversity will no longer divide people. Today, for many years, inner city faith communities all over the world read this 2,600-year-old prophetic poetry as powerfully and persuasively practical. Why? First of all, because they understand that God still desires to create cities full of happy people. That is who God is. So they believe that when they pray the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," they can believe that God is creating a city, their cities, to be full of happy people. And then secondly, they understand that God is not limited by our human awareness or perspectives of time. They don't quibble about whether the verb should be translated about to create, will create, or am creating. It's fascinating. One Jewish translation has "I create." Perhaps we should pay attention to how the Jewish people understand this text. The bottom line, God is creating this joyful city. Our need to put it on a timeline so our minds can grasp it, well, that's our problem. The third reason inner city congregations see the power and practicality of this text is because they pay attention to their job description in verse 18. "But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating." It's God's job to create the joyful city. It's their job to be glad and rejoice in what God is doing as they minister. Seeing all this as God's creative work is precisely what enables them to see their impressive efforts in a radically different light. We have joined with God in God's work. That means God has it all covered. We don't need to be discouraged when what we see around us is so not yet what God desires. Instead, we can be assured that God has it covered. God is in charge, despite what we see. In part because God has given each of us a passion for a specific area of what God is doing. And the Holy Spirit has given each of us a spiritual gift to be effective within that passion. It's been exciting over the years to see these passions that God has given and the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has given, which specifically join in with these areas that the prophecy identify. It is all about what God is creating and how God is equipping us to join in God's creative activity. The only way to maintain this perspective is to regularly come into God's presence in worship, where we keep reminding each other that our primary calling is to rejoice in what God is doing. God is creating cities full of happy people on God's timetable. We don't need to be discouraged by seeing limited results, because remember, it's not about us. And this is where we can connect with other faiths and even those claiming to be without faith. The Isaiah 65 agenda is universal. Who can disagree that infants should not die, that seniors should have dignity, that all working men and women should have jobs, housing, and even time for leisure? As we work together with God in what God is doing, even along with those who do not name the name of Christ, there'll be natural opportunities to tell others why we are involved in this agenda, and to listen for why they are involved in this agenda. We can tell them, did you know this agenda was in the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, Isaiah 65? And we can tell them about Jesus, whom God sent to show us how to participate with God in God's vision for the world. In our recent congregational conversations, several areas keep surfacing as needing attention at Mennonite Church of Normal. It seems to be a matter of not having individuals to carry out these responsibilities. Last week, in two separate small groups, apart from any thought of these areas which need attention, at least five persons discovered surprising new clarity of calling to minister in either area. The Spirit has given all the gifts MCN needs to be healthy and dynamic and to fully participate in God's vision for our city. We just have to put a little effort into discovering these passions and gifts. And yes, others at MCN are already clear about their callings and have for many years been joining in what God is doing in creating cities full of happy people. It's exciting to see them. It just comes naturally. And yes, we need to regularly affirm and encourage each other in our individual efforts, but always in the much larger context of rejoicing in what God is doing through us. When we rejoice in what God is doing, when we see that God's will is being done on earth right before our eyes, as it is in heaven, instead of rejoicing in what we are doing, our eyes are opened to recognizing more and more of what God is doing. If it's about our efforts, we will be overwhelmed by the out-of-control pandemic, by divisions in our nation, by systemic racism, and by increasing gaps between haves and have-nots. But it's not about us. It's about what God is creating. Cities full of happy people. Now, we'll all forget that at times and feel overwhelmed in our ministry efforts. And that's precisely why God calls us to rejoice in what God is creating. Cities full of happy people. Because when we do, God will accomplish far more than we can ever imagine through his church. Amen.